You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode sponsored by Hume. You're eating clean, hitting your workouts, doing everything right. So why does the scale still look the same? Because weight alone can't show fat loss, muscle gain, or real progress. The Hume Body Pod changes that. It tracks 45 body metrics like body fat, muscle mass, hydration, and visceral fat, so you can actually see what's happening inside your body. With 8 sensors and advanced multi-frequency technology, it gives you a full body breakdown in seconds, right from home. You can even track progress by body segment, arms, legs, and core, so nothing gets missed. And inside the app, you'll get personalized insights to help you adjust and improve over time. Stop relying on a number that doesn't tell the whole story. Go to humehealth.com and check out the Hume Body Pod.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her mom was a house cleaner to make some extra money, so she and her sister tagged along. But something happened that was so frightening, they left without cleaning the house.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And if you have a real ghost story and you would like to share it with us, we would love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like an ad-free version of the show with the advanced episodes and access to the archive, then you need to be a premium subscriber. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. And Kathy, how's it going
Hello.
Today?
Well, it's going good. But the scenarios that are running through my mind about what would make me run from a house that I was supposed to clean are absolutely huge. Like I'm going, maybe it's one of those hoarder situations on TV. Like
that would make me run from a
like I would open the door and go, you know, like that. Like I got to get out, right?
Ain't cleaning that.
You know, you walk in the door, serial killer house, you know, there's, you know, body parts in the fridge or something.
Not,
you know,
like not cleaning I'm up just the thinking, blood.
Like I am out of here. Like, no thanks. You know, I don't clean up after serial killers.
Well, that's a thing. Like some of these people, they do clean up crime scenes and stuff,
oh,
which I
know,
couldn't
right?
imagine.
Oh, man.
I could not imagine. But I got a Facebook message that I wanted to share with you. So Tracy sent me a private message and it said, Carol, I friend requested you. I listened to the podcast and I wish I could be you and Kathy's little sister.
Oh,
so I sent her a message back and I said, we would be honored to have you as our little sister.
We would.
So
we
yes.
She is a good sister.
Yes, Tracy, you got to change your name to something that starts with a C because that's a
You could be
with
Casey.
Casey. Crazy. We can just
Tracy.
Call her Crazy, which is actually, we can't because Crazy sounds too much like crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to call my little sister that.
We'll just go with Casey.
Yeah, I think that's probably for the best. But anyway, I thought that was sweet. And the thing is that if somebody sends me a friend request and we have no mutual friends, I don't always say yes because I'm like, I don't know who that is. And so just send me a message. Like
particularly if you're a really good-looking guy that's working on an oil rig in the middle of the
Gulf. That says job,
and,
surgeon, doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, surgeon, doctor, working in oil rig or whatever. It, you know, if that's truly who you are, let us know you're a listener.
You really
because
are.
Because we're not going to friend that. We're not friending you.
It's like I am a surgeon, doctor, on oil rig, but I would really like to be your friend because I listen to Real Ghost Stories Online. Maybe I don't know. Even then, I'd be, are you really a surgeon, doctor? I don't know.
I don't know.
But this story today, I better put on my glasses. But this story is creepy.
Oh.
And it's a little long too, but it's a good one. It says, I had something of an unconventional childhood. My mom was a single parent. She took care of my sister and me. We grew up in Northern California among the redwoods and right on the coast. We were homeschooled and relatively sheltered and isolated with only a handful of extended family and church friends. My sister, my mom, and I were exceptionally close. My mom had come out to California as a born-again Christian. She believed very definitely in good and evil, God and the devil. She spent most of her formative years in the Deep South, and her childhood was peppered by the paranormal. Even into her late 20s, she continued to have many experiences with the paranormal, most of them having been towards the end increasingly negative. I know she had a great fear that something of like a family curse would be passed on to my sister and me. All the women in our family are strongly sensitive. Unfortunately, the sensitivity was not talked about much in my mother's case, was approached with a great deal of suspicion after she became a Christian. It meant that we, as children, my sister and I, didn't get much practical advice on dealing with what we heard, saw, and felt. But my mother would tell us a story here and there about her own childhood experiences, of the current things that we experienced. Her answer was mostly prayer. She did not want to believe that her children could struggle with the same things she did as a child. This fear and prayer, though, did not keep my sister and I as safe as my mother had hoped. This story begins when a friend of my mother's asked her to help clean a vacation home right out on the headlands. My mom frequently cleaned vacation homes to earn money. My sister and I often went with her because she was a single parent and we were homeschooled. This friend of my mother's also cleaned for the same company. In fact, this house had been pawned off to her by another cleaner who refused to go back. Not much explanation was given to the family friend as to why the previous cleaner would not return, but the money was good and the family who owned the home were expected that weekend. It had to be cleaned and it was a massive place. The family friend thought that my mom and her could split the cost of gas and the cleaning profits by going in together and getting it done quicker. Only later did we find out that this family friend hoped that my mom's strong faith would help keep her safe with whatever was in the house. About the house itself, I remember very little. It was right on the edge of a cliff, very boxy, big, and blue. The trees all around the house had been cleared, and it backed right up against the sea. There was a little bit of a cliffside and a shallow beach that was only exposed at low tide. There was no way down the cliff to the beach, and in fact, all the picture windows along the bottom floor looked directly out onto the sea. Only on the third floor did any of the windows actually open, and if you were to lean out of one, you would very nearly be leaning out over the Pacific Ocean. Could you imagine that?
You know, it sounds beautiful.
But it sounds like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie at the same time.
Yes, it does. It does. But it does sound like incredibly. Can you imagine laying there at night and hearing the water, the ocean? It would be so beautiful.
It really would be. So shortly after we arrived, the family friend went upstairs to start on the master bath. My sister and I were left on our own to play while my mom tackled the kitchen. I lost track of my younger sister very quickly. At the time, I was about 8 years old, and I remember that I had wandered into the billiards room. I thought I had heard a conversation, a man or possibly two men and a woman. At times, it seemed like they were arguing, and I remember thinking very distinctively that they were upset that we were in their house. I told my mom that the owners were home and unhappy about us cleaning. I felt very weird, dizzy, hot. At this time, my memory of what happened becomes very fuzzy. Everything becomes a secondhand story because my next coherent memory is of us driving away. I will tell you what my mother later told me what had happened. Apparently, I stumbled into the kitchen and immediately threw up. Then my eyes rolled into the back of my head. I slumped against the counter and fell to the floor. My mother rushed to me and discovered that I was spiking an intense fever. She took me to the couch and laid me down. She got a wet cloth and laid it over my eyes, and then she went looking for my sister and the family friend. The friend met my mother halfway down the stairs from the third level. and she was angry. My little sister apparently had taken all the freshly laid out toilet paper rolls from the master bath and guest bedrooms upstairs and rolled them all out. Toilet paper was running through the hallways. Additionally, my sister had put all the cleaning supplies in the center of the master bathroom floor, and the lady was pretty irritated that my sister was behaving so badly. Usually, my sister and I were pretty good kids. My mom didn't know what to say. It was distinctively out of character for my sister to do something like that. And had her friend seen my little sister at all? At this point, my mother told me that she and her friend had begun combing through the house for my sister. It took them several minutes to finally locate her back upstairs in the master bedroom. She was standing on the frame of the open picture window, situated just above a window seat. It looked like she was about ready to step outside. She held onto the right portion of the frame and pointed at the beach. Now, please understand, this was a three-story house. The only windows opened at the very top level and looked directly out onto the ocean. The house backed up to the cliff face. If you threw something out of the window, it would either land directly on the rocks or just into the seafoam. My sister was now standing in an open window. She kept insisting that there were stairs, but there were no stairs. It was only open air. My mother says she swooped in and stole my sister out of the window. They tumbled off of the love seat and onto the floor, and she looked up at her family friend and told her they were leaving. Something was terribly wrong. I don't know if they even paused to pack up their cleaning supplies. With this company, you had to bring your own cleaning supplies. They didn't provide them. But in this case, I just remember the family friend picking me up and bustling me out the door. My mother was holding my sister. We all crawled into the family friend's beat-up little Toyota, and she gunned it down the driveway away from the house. It was on the way home that my sister finally had a chance to explain what had happened, why she was standing in the open window. A lady had been showing her the stairs down to the beach. The lady had held her hand from the bottom level of the house, brought her up to that window specifically. She told my sister how she could step out onto the stairs and go down to the beach. It would all be okay when she got to the bottom. She wanted me to go to the bottom, my sister insisted. She opened up the window for me. As we drove away, I began to feel better. By the time we were just 5 minutes away from my home, my fever was completely gone. I no longer felt nauseous or dizzy. I then told my mom about the homeowner's argument in the billiards room. And my mom told me that besides my sister, herself, and the family friend, there was nobody else in the home. We were the only ones there. Years later, the family friend told us a little bit more about that house. Apparently, it had been owned by a family who it was rumored, practiced witchcraft. They were well known in local witchcraft circles. You may think it a bit strange, but where I grew up in Northern California, that was not an uncommon thing. We have the largest coven of female witches on the West Coast. This area is well known for its practitioners, both good and bad. Of course, we never went back to that house. Later, I learned that the company hired to clean it declined to service the place any longer because they simply could not get people to go out there and clean it. No one stayed there long enough to get the job done, and apparently the family sold the place later. I don't know what happened to it after that. I pity anyone who actually bought it. As for my physical reaction to the house, I only ever experienced something like that later once in my life, and it was the presence of something evil. There was something wrong with that house. Who was the woman who took my sister up to the window and tried to talk her into stepping off of it? Was all the toilet paper and misplaced cleaning supplies a mere distraction so that my sister and I could be targeted and the adults couldn't interfere? I hope to share a few more stories in the future. It'd be great to hear this one on one of your episodes. May you all be safe out there. And I don't know if it's a typo, if it's Ananda or Amanda. You know, I have to wonder if it wasn't just exactly that. It was a distraction. So they did target the kids because both something happened to both kids that was really horrible.
Yeah, and we've often said that they seem to be able to speak to the kids, show themselves to the kids quicker than they do adults. And this all did seem to happen relatively quickly, you know, that they were just starting to get things going, really. And then all of a sudden, one daughter's there, one's, you know, there. I don't know about the family and the witchcraft angle on this one, or if this is just spirits that are
in the house. It seems more to me like evil spirits.
That's what I think, too, as opposed to some sort of spell that's on the house, because there seems to be spirits in the house.
Now, if you were practicing dark magic, mm-hmm. that maybe you were opening it up to darkness and darker spirits or something like that. So I don't know if the two are connected. And who knows? Was that a rumor about the witchcraft? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Was mm-hmm. it for real? But it just sounds like there was more going on, you know, like all the toilet paper being all over the place. I don't think the daughter did that.
I don't either. And I don't think, you know, and I think that the physical reaction, that kind of makes sense too, that you could be so overwhelmed that your body physically responds, you know, by vomiting, being so, you know, scared of something or so overtaken by some entity feeling, you mm-hmm. know, that your body just kind of shuts down.
Yeah.
To protect you. So I think I get all of that. I'm just not personally convinced about the dark arts angle. I think this was a haunted house.
Very haunted.
You know, that a very traditionally haunted house with dark spirits in it.
And if one of the spirits, as we've discussed before, was batshit crazy in life and maybe had done something to a child, like pushed them out the window or something, that as a spirit, maybe that's kind of what they were doing. And, mm-hmm. you know, trying to get to the children and do something mm-hmm. harmful to kids. If you were like that in real life, I think you'd be like that in the spirit world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You ain't gonna change your ways now that you're just haunting that place.
Well, and let it be a lesson to anybody, if this is dark arts related, that if you are practicing dark arts in the house and you're bringing these evil things in, you're going to have a hell of a time getting house cleaners.
Period. And the other thing is, I hope they did stop and get their cleaning supplies, because they had to buy them themselves.
Right. So, and I just think, you know, it's just, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you what, who wants to clean the house with a pentagram on the wall? Nobody.
Nobody.
You're not going to get house cleaners.
Nope, nope, nope.
So just know that.
That and, you know, dolls in the middle of circles and things that, you know,
never
people
could.
Leave. Nobody's staying.
And
just saying.
On an entirely different note, ain't nobody going to clean the house with a whole bunch of porcelain dolls looking at you everywhere.
That's right.
Mom.
Mom.
That was our
mom.
Mother. Well, let's go to the next story.
Hi, Tony. It's Melanie calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And this is a story, I have several, but this one I'm going to share, I have not heard on your show yet, so I thought it's a different one. This is a ghost that was captured on a cell phone of mine. So it was about 2009. I lived in a 75-year-old house in Toronto, in an area called the Annex. And I used to do my work in the kitchen and leave the door open. So I'd be working on the computer. There was a property that sat across from us that had been torn down one day, like right down to the foundation. So as I always left the back door open for fresh air in the spring, I was back at work one day on the computer. My back was to the door. And my old mobile flip phone was sitting on the counter where the camera would sit on the top. And while I was working, I heard the clicking of my camera. I thought, this is weird. So I turned, what's going on? And I went back to work. A few minutes later, the camera started clicking again. This time, I got up and went to see if the phone had, like, something going on with it, like maybe the battery's dying. Nope, the phone was fine. Then I went back to work again. My back was always towards the door. A few minutes later, the camera started clicking again. So weird, I thought. So I went over, I picked it up, and as I looked at it, I thought, that's weird. I opened up the pics, and I saw a young man's face, a young man with a toque, black toque, hovering. It must have been hovering over the actual camera in my phone. So since the camera was in front of, you know, on the counter, it was so weird because the actual spirit would have been hovering over it. So anytime in the future, that freaked me out. I showed everybody that I could, because I thought that was the weirdest thing. Eventually, my partner did take the cell phone out and lose it, not after I showed many, many people. But any time in the future I left the door open and felt a weird energy, I would just say, like, I'm sorry, go away, I can't help you. Eventually, it stopped, and then we moved from the house. That's my story. Hope you enjoyed it, the cell phone ghost. Thank you, and have a good day.
So what else was it?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm trying to picture this in my head, what the picture looked like. So she said that it was as if something was, like, in the picture looking down at her mm-hmm. phone, like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And did you get the sense it was, like, apparition-style man?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just a real man?
No. I got the distinct feeling that it was a picture of a ghost, a cell phone ghost.
Okay, because I was like,
since that's how she referred to it.
Because I am like trying to get my head around exactly what these pictures look like, and there must have been several of them.
And what would be creepier, I don't know, if all of a sudden your phone takes pictures of a real person in your house while you're in it, or a ghost. What's creepier? I don't know.
I'm going to go real person. I'm always number one afraid of real people first.
As we should be.
You know, oh my God, that's so creepy. What a creepy story. But she didn't ever have it happen again, right?
Nope.
But she did get a sense that there was energy in the room sometimes, right?
Yeah. And well, because she said at the end, she would be like, no, no, no. She would talk to it.
Yeah, which is the thing to do if you can be brave enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep it together and say, we're not doing this today. You know,
I bet she
not
handled
today,
it
Satan.
Just right.
Yeah.
I'd be showing everybody too. Look at what the hell
Oh,
this
absolutely.
Is.
Like, look at this creepy thing.
And people would be like, no.
Oh,
other
man.
People would believe you though.
Yeah.
We'd believe them.
Wow. And it was a flip phone?
That's my, well, it was 2008
I
or
thought
something
she said
like that.
Her old flip phone was sitting there.
Yeah.
So I guess it was open.
In those pictures.
No. It had a camera out, right? It had a little
remember.
Camera on the outside of the flip phone.
But I think that's kind of how they worked. I don't remember exactly. And I don't know what kind of phone
so
she
I think
had.
It could be closed.
Because I just don't remember.
I think
that
it could be closed and you could take a picture with it, but somebody's got to be, doing the picture.
It's just so funny because flip phones were the thing. And then now it's like, I don't even really remember how they work. Like our mom has a flip phone and I have to doing things on it is just so hard.
When I try to text, it's like, oh, forget this. I just, no.
Yeah. And there's no texting. Like, there's no telling her mom that she could text.
Yeah, no, there's none of that.
But there's one day I sent her a picture from my phone to her phone, and she, like, it was, like, paranormal. She was like, how did you do that?
Wow.
Like, it was so funny.
Wow.
And I said, look, we could just
look at you
take,
in this mystical,
here's what we can do with this picture.
Thing.
It was so funny. She was like, oh, what is this?
Though every now and then I run into something and I'll go, I had no idea this thing could do this. And
this?
Just another feature on my phone.
This
I'm
is
like,
magical.
Wow.
Well, we've got one more story and it says, this is Elizabeth from Alabama. I come from a long line of psychic people who see and talk to dead people. It's normal in our family. However, we were always warned not to use Ouija boards and never to have seances. I want to tell you about one of the first experiences I had when I was a kid. I was about 8 years old. I was hanging out with two friends. We were at one friend's house. Her old colonial was decorated to the period in many ways. We were in the basement. It wasn't completely underground. French doors went out onto a patio and windows along that wall. It was bright and airy and well decorated. On the wall by the door to the stairs, there was an old doorbell / maid bell, like the ones that ring in the credits of Downton Abbey. It did not work, and it didn't even have the pieces inside to make it ring. It was strictly decorative. We were bored and trying to figure out what to do, and one of the girls suggested a seance, which of course she did. And being the kid who didn't want to appear weird or not cool, I went along with it.
Well, of course, that's the way we do.
We got a candle and sat down at the table. Now I'm really concerned. 8-year-olds doing a seance with a candle. Nothing's going to go right here.
Yeah, there's nothing good can come out of this.
This is going to be bad news. Just prepare yourself.
Okay.
We were talking about who to summon, and we couldn't come up with anyone. Finally, someone said, and I really don't remember who it was. It could have been me for all I know, said, let's summon Abraham Lincoln. That would have so been me.
Okay, no, that's not a bad idea if you're going to bring somebody back.
Bring somebody who seems to be kind and compassionate and caring. Right. He had a lot of wonderful attributes.
Yeah.
I was very uncomfortable and a little bit scared. It was broad daylight out, and all that light was flooding in the windows behind me. I was doing the just suck it up, the mental thing to myself. We joined hands, and the girl whose house it was started with a, if you're here, Abraham Lincoln, give us a sign thing. She said it a few times. Suddenly, the bell by the door, with no insides, started ringing really loudly. I was out of my seat, up those stairs, out her back door, and on the way to my house in a minute. I've never been that scared in my entire life. I didn't go back to her house for years, by the way. We didn't talk about it in school. It was like it never happened. So flash forward about 3 decades, literally, and I'm in a completely different part of the country at a metaphysical festival. All of my friends were telling me about the elderly woman and how good she was and all that. So I went and made an appointment with her. I was interested to see what she would come up with for me. My appointment time came and I sat down. We talked a little back and forth and she asked which one I wanted her to draw. I don't know what that means. I said,
card?
Yeah.
So tarot card?
Maybe, because it doesn't say what she does. It just refers to her as an old woman.
But it says when she wants her to draw, maybe she meant pick a card.
Or to draw a picture, because there are some mediums who draw and doodle too. So I don't know. It could be that. And she said, I told her to go with whatever came to her. Oh, here's the answer. She started drawing something, crumpled up the paper, and threw it away. She started drawing something again, crumpled up the paper, and threw that one away too. I asked what was going on. She looked up and said, I quote, I'm not sure. I've never experienced this in all my years of doing this. I told her to go with it and that I was sure it would make sense to me. I didn't want to tell her much about my family history, so she said okay and started drawing. I realized she was drawing a man with dark hair and a beard. She was saying he wasn't a spirit guide or a past life of mine. He was someone who came to me and stayed with me. That didn't make much sense, but I just watched her draw. I started to recognize who she was drawing and asked her, who was that? And she said, Abraham Lincoln. And he says he's been with you since you were a little girl. You called him to you one bright sunny day and he's watched over you ever since. Mic drop boom. It literally says that. I will write in with more stories. I have tons of them. I love your show. Let me see who that was from. Elizabeth. Do you think Abraham Lincoln could be like watching over her all these years later?
Oh, I think you're just dying with jealousy.
A little bit. Like,
why didn't I think about that? Like, why didn't I think of doing Abraham Lincoln?
And is he watching over the other girls too? And if you were to have somebody watching over you, wouldn't it be nice to have Abraham Lincoln?
I can't think of anybody better.
Man.
You know, like, if I was going to have a seance, I'd be like, let's do Abraham Lincoln. But then it'd be like Gabe Blinken would show up, you know, some totally, you know, kind of that name, but not that name, you know, and it'd just be some horrible big mess. But I think that, why not? It's a little bit too big of a coincidence.
That would be really strange for her to be like throwing away the papers and going, I don't know why I'm drawing Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. And the woman's just like, this is so stupid.
And the fact that she said he came to you one bright sunny day and all that stuff, that's kind of weird. I get why she said mic drop boom. Golly. I would like that myself.
I cannot come up with any other reason.
I don't know.
You know, and I'm just going to believe her. in the story she told. Why not? Like,
here's the thing. You know. Even if she's just bullshitting us and she made up the whole story, I love that story. I think it's
awesome. Everyone
knows
that Carol loves Abraham Lincoln.
I really do.
We have had Abecations that we call where we just go to somewhere that's important to Abraham Lincoln's
exactly.
life.
Exactly. Any place he's been, I will go.
Wherever he's buried or wherever he's given a speech or exactly. a debate, we go there. And Carol has like a bronze bust of Abraham Lincoln.
I have two of them. I've got one in the front room and one in the living room.
Like, so she's totally, totally just jealous of this whole thing. And she's sad she didn't think of grabbing him first.
I have the Gettysburg Address on my keychain.
You just have everything, Abe Lincoln. Like recently, I had to take mom up to the hospital for a procedure, and I needed a bag, and I grabbed this bag, and I'm at the hospital, and I'm like, what's on this bag? Oh, it's Abraham Lincoln. It's David Bowie.
Yeah, it's,
okay.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real cool, but everything is Abraham Lincoln. Like if you want to get, Carol, can I borrow a coat? Yeah, it's got Abraham Lincoln thing on it, you know, it's like, everything.
Oh, anyways. Well, that's me. So if you have a real ghost story or an Abraham Lincoln story, I'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the thousands of episodes in the archive, then sign up through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also go through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including Live Dealer, Blackjack, and Craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.